Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, everyone, to Call Waiting. It's me, Robin, and I just want to say today's episode is public humiliation, and we're going to get to the end when we get to the end, but what I did for public humiliation today that is going to be at the end is so humiliating that I don't know how I want to get through this entire episode, but we're going to get through it. You're like, Robin, what did you do? I will tell you at the end, but oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. Okay. Hi, everyone. Before we get into today's episode, I want to thank everyone who got their tickets for Town Hall. If you didn't know, I am performing in New York City, Town Hall, in the New York Comedy Festival. Tickets have been on sale and you guys have been killing it. More than half the tickets have been sold and I'm just so appreciative. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm also going to be in Seattle, San Diego, Phoenix, Detroit, Atlanta. I think I'm leaving out. Toronto, Vancouver. So get your tickets at robinshaw.com. And I'm just so grateful. So thank you guys. Okay. So today's episode, public humiliation. Now, I'm embarrassed every day of my life, but I think one of the worst public humiliations I ever had was I did karaoke. Me and one of my girlfriends, this is years ago, we drove up to Niagara Falls and we were like 18 or 19. So we weren't like legally able to drink here, but the drinking age there was 18. I don't know if it still is. And so they have this like adult playground, they call it, which is a strip of bars. And we did a bar crawl. Halfway through, we end up in a karaoke bar. My friend Jen, who was a musical major, like she majored in music, goes on stage, sings It's Raining Men, and the place had about 200 people in the bar are screaming for her. She's like bringing down the house. She's so good. Then I go on stage and I'm like, hi, everyone. I'm Robin. I'm tone deaf. I'm so drunk, guys. And I bought just like this cute little tube top, right? So I felt like so cute and adorable. And I was like, I'm tone deaf. Sorry. And I start singing Madonna's Like a Prayer. You know, life is a mystery. Everyone must stand alone. Right, that one. I started singing it. Then the music starts getting fast. I start doing the running man. And when I started doing the running man, my tube top fell down below my boobies. I wasn't wearing a bra. And I had no clue again because I was drunk. So I'm doing the running man with my boobies flying everywhere, smacking me in the face. And the place is going nuts. And I don't know it's because my boobs are out. I just think I'm like fucking killing it. You know, everyone's like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah. When you call my name, it's like a little prayer. And everyone's like, tits. And I'm like, I'm down on my knees. Boobies, you're gonna take you there. Right? I see my friend Jen, she's on the floor like dead from embarrassment. I then like finish the song. I realize my boobs are out. I pick up my shirt. Place is just screaming, going nuts. I get my friend. I lift her up off the floor and the place is just screaming like boobies, boobies, boobies. We get through the crowd. We find out along the strip were screens showing what was going on in this specific karaoke bar. All night people were stopping us like, oh my God, it's the boob girl. Look, it's the boob girl. Like even at the Continental breakfast the next morning, this like old man was like, I saw your video on the screen, young lady. I was like, oh my God. Thankfully, this is before camera phones. So is there a tape somewhere out there of me karaokeing with my boobs out? Yes. Has it surfaced yet? No. But let's just pray it stays hidden. Actually, if you have that video, if you were in Canada in 2007, please send me that video. All right, guys. So today's topic, public humiliation. I can't wait to get the calls. But just know every week is a different topic and you can find out the topic at TikTok and Instagram at Robin Shaw Comic. And then you just call in and the phone number is 720-727-6296. Security.
Hi.
Were you sleeping?
No. All I was thinking, I'm like, you're very lucky that the only type of camera phones that were around back then were so like the quality. No, they weren't
cameras. It was just like recorder, like actual the ones cameras. They had,
yeah, on the
like
shoulder.
Dad used that when we were a kid, but it was like 90% filming the floor because my dad would always press record when he thought he was stopping.
So half of our home videos are the floor.
Security, I promise you I'll get and ask you what your public humiliation is. But before we do, I have such a great call today coming in. I'm so excited. Guys, I don't know about you, but I'm obsessed with the Real Housewives franchise, especially New Jersey, New York, and Beverly Hills. Those are my three that I watch. And during the pandemic, Danielle Cabral started following me, and she actually reached out to me about doing like a charity event. This was before she was even on the show. And then during the pandemic, we became friendly, and I asked her to call in today. So I'm so excited to talk to her, and we'll find out what her public humiliation is. And she's on TV, so I'm sure she's got something. So, security.
Yeah.
Can you get her on the line?
Okay, Robin, we have Danielle on the phone.
Danielle!
Wait, is that security?
That is security.
I am dead. I am your number one fan, the both of you. I adore you both.
Thank you so much.
Do you know, Danielle, every year, I have to give him updates on The Real Housewives, like whatever's going on. He doesn't know anything, but like always be like, you're not going to believe what happened. And then I tell him the story.
But I would think you'd be totally invested. Like, security, you seem like you would be totally invested in Housewives.
He totally is, but it has to be through me. Like, he won't sit and watch each week, but he wants to hear what's going on, and I tell him.
Yeah, of course. We'll get the footnotes, right? The best of every week. I don't blame him.
Otherwise, it's too much fluff. He wants the hardcore drama. And like, you know, he's a man. He does his attention spans like shorter than, you know, anything. So I was telling everyone before I called you, which I think is like so sweet, that I went back to look at our first message. And our first message is you doing like some charity and wanting to team up. And I just think that is like, I don't know, such of who your character is. I see all the time you're doing so much good.
Our first message was the first week you went viral and it came across your page. I'm like, who is this chick? And then I researched you and I was on your YouTube page when you used to do those science videos when you had like zero views.
Right?
You had zero views and I watched you grow and I must have DM'd you and was like, I'm just so proud of you. And it's a joy to watch your success.
Aww.
And I've been a day oneer before I was a housewife. And,
no, it's true. This is before you were a housewife. You messaged and you just were so sweet. Well, I could say the same about you. Wait, has this past year for you just been insane?
What, like bonkers. It might actually blow your first year of like making it big out of the water.
I'm
because
sure.
It was bonkers. It was nuts.
I mean, it's just the Bravo fan base is just so humongous and diehard and passionate. Like, are you enjoying it?
So, yeah, I am. And here's the thing. Like, you and I come from the same world where our platforms on social media are, like, always doing good. So we come from a space where women love women. Mm. And then here I am. I'm like, oh, okay. We're not in that space anymore. And, you know, fans are super passionate. But you got to take it with a grain of salt. Like, how can you say, like, I don't like being on one of the top rated shows on television? You just can't. Like, I enjoy it. I love going out and people recognizing us and they're like, thank God for you.
It's so like, fun, right?
It's so fun.
People when they come up to me on the streets, they're like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, are you kidding? I've waited my whole life for people to stop me on the street. I'm asking my fans for pictures. Like, they'll stop me and they'll be like, oh, I'm such a fan. I'm like, you want a picture?
I know. You know what? And I hope we never lose that.
I know.
I hope we never lose that because that's just so genuine. And I've seen some Bravo people that they're not like that. And, you know, it's like, ugh, come on.
I don't think you're going to lose that. That's not who your personality is. You're so, I love you so much. I'm so happy we're talking.
My whole family's outside in the pool. I threatened their whole lives. They said, if you walk in this house, I'm going to kill you. So they're all, one of them may be drowning. God only knows.
You're like, this is a very serious call I'm on. Do not disturb me.
Yes.
I have a question. How did you even get on the show? How'd that even happen?
So it's like a bunch of things. I think when it comes to like Jersey, they audition everybody, mainly they go for the money, right? So like Jersey's been mingling in the background for a couple of years for me, but I don't have the money yet. I will one day, but I'm not there yet.
Wait, so, when you say they go for the money, they bring on cast members who have money. Is that what you mean?
Yes. Like okay. Successful, already rich, like buku money, mm-hmm. like that. And I was always intimidated by joining the franchise because I was like, okay, well, that's not me yet. It will be one day. So, it never was a real thing. And then I guess the stars aligned. Teresa and I have done work in the past. My name got brought up. And, I was like, oh, God, okay, here's the first interview. But like you you go on so many of these things, nothing ever sticks. You right. never know when it's going to happen. So then one interview became two. 3, 4, before you knew it, I had the Bravo execs in my home. I'm like, wait, what is happening right now? And I guess just the stars aligned and Jersey just needed something different.
Yeah, some spice. You think they'd have enough spice, but nope, we needed more.
A different kind of spice.
It is a different kind of spice. You really are very different than everyone else on that what's on right now.
Yeah. And I've grown to like be okay with that when I was intimidated by that in the beginning, because for me, Bethany Frankel is the best housewife of all time. And why I loved her so much is because you could watch her success.
Yes. I was just thinking of that when you said that before about the money. I'm like, well, when Bethany first started, she yep. was, I mean, in that first season, she's in a supermarket, like trying to get people to buy her product. Like she was in the supermarket and be like, yeah. try my product, you know?
Yep. And that's me right now. And people like to watch that. People like to watch the growth of someone's success on how they do it. Yeah. It's fun to watch the multimillionaire like roll up in the Rolls Royce in their mansion, but some people want to know that it's still obtainable and like to learn from it.
Yeah. And it's the relatable factor. So many people yeah. look at you and like, oh, she's like me, or she reminds me of my best friend. She reminds me of my yeah. sister, you know?
Yeah. And I'm proud of that now. Like, I'm proud I could bring that to the franchise.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. And it's so funny because at first I was like, yeah, you're the tame one. And the fact that you're not tame at all. Like,
I know.
Jersey's so wild. Jersey is so, especially this past season. I mean, what's like the biggest pro and con, you think, of being on the show?
So the biggest pro of being on the show is like just the opportunities that come your way. If you're smart about it, if you take advantage and you're smart, it can change your life in the best way possible. And then in the cons, also you need to protect yourself in a way. You realize that maybe not everybody out there is like you and has a heart like you, and you gotta like, okay, see things from a different angle. Because sometimes, I put myself out there and I got hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, I got hurt. Some people go on the show and they go on the show to be a housewife. I didn't know what that was. Mm-hmm. I went on as myself and I never experienced that hurt before. How can anybody not like me? Are you kidding me?
It's obviously them. Let me just say that right now. If someone doesn't like you, it's on them.
Yeah, well, they all freaking hate me. I'm like, wait a second, how did this happen?
In the words of my mother, they're just jealous of you. If anyone hates me, that's what my mom says.
Right, but you could, I will say that to my daughter to the end of time, and people have said to you, they're jealous of you, but when you're the one crying and hurting, yeah. it still freaking hurts.
Yeah, and I wonder, are you talking so much more about the women, or are you talking about, like, the public?
No, the public I don't even care about. It's the women.
Yeah.
Because I really thought I could be great friends with all of them. And when you're misunderstood
yeah.
and then they gang up on you, it's like, whoa.
Yeah. And it's so hard because I saw, like the season when your words were getting twisted and like, or just like, actually, basically, I think it was you were lied about. Like, I don't think, you really didn't say anything wrong. In my opinion. But yeah, I think that's so hard because one, you don't know who to trust then, because you're like, wait, I thought we were friends. I thought I could trust you.
Right.
When people you think are your friends do stuff that hurt you, it really is the worst. I think fighting with a girlfriend sometimes is like worse than fighting with your husband or boyfriend because it's like such a bond with women. And then you're like, wait, that wasn't there. I think that's so hurtful.
Right. And I never want to be, because my mom is like, you're going to hate everybody. As soon as when you get older, you're going to hate everybody. Trust me. I don't want to be like that. I want to go in like with the best intentions. And that's what I did. And I was I was let down. I was like confused. You know, I learned so much from just that first year.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I'm really excited to get into the next one.
I'm so excited too. I'm so excited. You're such good TV. Again, you're relatable, but like you're smart and you're witty. It's just you were so good this year. Like,
thank you.
And this was just your first year. Imagine what's going to come, you know, when you really know what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I tell Teresa, I'm like, I don't know how you did this for 14 years, 15 years. Like, I was like, my mind was blown that somebody would put themselves through this for so many years.
And she's really laid everything out on the table. I don't care. People could be pro Teresa, don't like her, hate her. I don't even care. You have to admit, she has given all to us Bravo fans. Like
she doesn't even know her star power, and that's what makes her the best, because she is so authentically herself on camera and off camera. Off camera, when I talk to her, I'm like, Teresa, what? Like, it's just the same person, and that's why she is the GOAT.
Is she your closest on the show?
So I have like different relationships with everybody. Teresa and Louie, we love, me and my husband, oh my God, I can't tell you what it's like to listen to the press and hear all the horrible things they say about Louie, because it's so not true.
Okay, good. I'm glad you said that, because I was going to ask. So, well, you know, by that last season finale, so, you know, when everyone was accusing me of everything and then everything in the press, so you're saying that's just not true and I should go by like their personalities.
Yeah, listen, you want to talk about what I did 25 years ago? Okay, fine. But I'm a good person now.
Yeah, you've got to go off now.
From all I've known from Louie is he's just the best guy. And you have to look at it from this angle too, right? Like, if your loved one is being bashed and hurt, he goes home with Teresa every night, and Teresa took everything to heart. Yeah. I know Melissa and Joe did too. They all hurt. But when someone is in so much pain and you're their loved one, you want to protect them.
Yeah.
See, like, I come from a place, this is why the show is so hard for me, is because, like, I just come from a place where I don't even let people talk. I'm just like, all right, let's go. Meet me outside. But the housewives, you can't meet them outside.
Guys, we have to remember, she may be on The Real Housewives of New Jersey, but this is a Staten Island woman we're talking.
You're talking about the housewives where you have to like verbally assault someone. It's a very different world. I don't know how to do that.
Like, Staten Island's like a whole other level. How they haven't done The Real Housewives of Staten Island, you know why? Because someone would end up in jail. The whole cast would end up in jail.
They did it. Mob wives. That's exactly. The Real Housewives of Staten Island. Mob wives.
So funny. You know, because I'm from Long Island. And so like Staten Island was such a presence in, you know, my life growing up.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, this stereotype. There's a reason. You guys are so funny. Oh my God. Staten Island is just, for those of you who don't know Staten Island, it's take Danielle's voice, but then like put that on everyone. Like,
wait, did you know I did True Life? I'm a Staten Island girl on MTV?
No.
Yeah. Do you remember that show from back in the day?
I remember that show on MTV.
Yeah, that's before Jersey Shore. We did a True Life episode on I'm a Staten Island Girl, and I was one of the three girls they followed.
Oh, my God. Wait. Oh, my God. Wait, I'm not even kidding. I remember that episode. Because one of the girls, watch, it was you, was trying to get rid of her accent because she was taking acting lessons.
That was me!
Oh, my God. I'm freaking out. Oh, my God. That's so crazy. I just had the memory. Guys, so, oh, my gosh. That's so, I cannot believe that's you. That's so crazy.
That is me. So when I tell you things don't happen overnight, it's a journey, as you know.
I know.
My science project YouTuber. It doesn't happen overnight.
I know. If you do a deep dive on me, there's so many like videos, and then you realize, oh, she's been doing this for a long time. Like, I've been doing all these crazy, you know, people watch now, and now it gets hundreds of thousands or millions of views. But I was doing this exact same things when it would get 5 views. Like, I didn't care. Five views or a million.
I followed you then. I actually followed you before you went viral. And then I watched the whole thing happen. But I'm like, this chick is blowing shit up in her little cubicle of a kitchen. Where does she live? Who is she? She's writing things on poster boards. Like,
I did. I lived in a cubicle when you found me. But now I'm realizing I knew you first from the MTV True Life.
Yeah.
So really?
Yeah, that was like a long time ago.
What's your, like, do you have a favorite story while film, like either with Teresa or while filming, like something, you know, a good story?
Oh my God, you would love this. I wish I could bring you like a fly on the wall to the events and take this the right way.
Yeah.
The amount of food that was at the events. I don't know if you ever heard, but I would bring Tupperwares with me and bring the food home.
I love it.
Because it was off the charts.
What do you mean? Would you really bring Tupperware?
No, I would bring Tupperware in my purse.
I love you.
It was such a sin. It was ridiculous. They did everything for show. We'd get there. We'd all fight and kill each other. And no one would eat a freaking thing.
Oh, my God. Like, you know I'm what we have to home. Do this year, that, you know, for the next season is you have to tell me where the event is so that at the end, when filming's wrapped and everyone's leaving, we film me walking in and getting all the food for you.
100%. No, I already have so many things planned. You're coming to one of the shoots.
I need
1,000%. 100%. And then you have to bring your security, yes. And he's got to protect you.
He'll protect both of us.
Maybe I'll hire him as my security.
Yes, yes. This short Jewish guy is your new security.
Oh, my God.
Just know
God.
He's going to be eating, and he doesn't fight, and he... if anyone talks bad to him, he'll just start crying. So just know
oh my
that's your new security detail.
That is happening. No, but he's going to come on set when we film an all cast because something will definitely go down and I'm going to be like, security, step in. And he's not going to know what the hell to do.
Can you imagine him standing in between like Joe and Louie, like the two of them going yes. at each other and just security's just in between them crying or eating a sandwich?
With prosciutto and mozzarella hanging off like,
I love it. What'd your husband think of filming?
He was, you know, my husband is, the salt of the earth, my father says. He's just the greatest guy on the face of the earth. And he was fine. The guys have no problem. They go and talk in the corner. We kill each other on the other side. They're yeah. having shots with each other. They don't care.
Yeah.
They don't really care. But he's my biggest supporter.
He's so sweet and cute. You did good. You did really good. He seems like such a sweet, cute guy.
I know. He's so hot.
How'd you meet him?
In Las Vegas, Studio 54 at like 3 a.m. Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, my God. See,
he's a Boston boy.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's from Boston.
I thought he was from Staten Island. Oh, okay. But Boston and Staten Island both have that tough, you know.
Yes. Well, I had VIP in the club and all of his boys were like lined up like a smorgasbord. And I was like, and at the time I was living in Hollywood and I was like, oh my God, East Coast guy. And I saw him. And when I tell you, I felt, it's like, I describe it like, you know, when you had Leonardo DiCaprio and Devon Sawa on your walls and you envisioned your whole life with them.
Yeah.
Or whoever you loved, that was what I felt when I saw Nate for the first time.
Aww.
It was love at first sight.
I love it. I'm so happy. I mean, he really is. You could tell you have such a good sports system.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Okay, speaking of men, and since you're from Staten Island, I thought we'd play a quick Kill, Marry, Fuck Staten Island edition.
Oh God. Okay.
Okay, so remember, Kill, Marry, Fuck, the person you marry, you never get to sleep with. The person you fuck, it's a one-night stand, and then you never see them again. And the person you kill, well, how about he doesn't die? How about we put him on a boat and send him off to sea, okay?
Okay.
Because I'm not from Staten Island. I'm not killing anyone.
Wait, why do you gotta have me marry someone and not sleep with them? Okay, like I'm in love. Okay, I get it.
You're just in love. Okay. So we have Pete Davidson, Vinny from the Jersey Shore, and Emilio Estevez. I didn't know that he was born in Staten Island.
Emilio Estevez from the Mighty Ducks?
What? Wait, what?
Estevez.
What did I say?
Estevez.
Well, you know what, security?
That's what I'm here for.
Okay.
Wait, Emilio Estevez from Mighty Ducks?
He was born in Staten Island.
Oh, I never knew that. All right, we're gonna ship him on the boat.
Okay. He's off.
Okay. I would marry Vinny and fuck Pete Davidson.
Oh, I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, we would not be good together. We're two doozy bots. We both got mental issues. It wouldn't be good.
Yeah. Although, I started stand-up with Pete. Such a nice guy.
I bet he is. I bet he's the nicest guy ever.
But it doesn't matter. All these beautiful girls are saying he has a wonderful penis, so we should go on that.
Don't you want to know? Don't you want to know?
I really do. all right, so my last question for you is, so today's episode is about public humiliation. Your whole life has been public this past year. What's your most embarrassing moment?
Okay, most embarrassing moment, when I was living in Hollywood, I did a game show. With the Alfonso Ribeiro as the host. I'm not going to say. I haven't even watched the show because it's so mortifying. It was me and two other male contestants, and I went on the show to win money so Nate could move out to Hollywood with me. I was so dumb and answered the question so incorrectly that these two contestants kept me on because they knew I was stupid and would fail to answer the questions, and they won.
Do you remember any of the questions you got wrong?
Yeah, one of the questions it was something along the lines of, there's a band called something Peaches or whatever, and I beeped, and Alfonso goes, "What is it?" And I'm like, "Peaches and Cream." and he's like, "No." And even worse, there was a person in the audience, how long ago it was, a person in the audience screams out, "Hey, weren't you on MTV True Life?" I'm like, no, but it was the worst. I have not even watched it to this day.
Oh my God.
I was so stupid.
That's so funny. Is it out there? Like, can people find it?
People screenshot it to me now. They go, "Excuse me, is this you?" I'm like, "No, that's not me."
That's she looks so like funny. Me. That is so funny. Okay. Also, you're so Bougie Kids. That's yours. Tell me about it.
Yeah. So Bougie Kids is my clothing company. It's my children's clothing company. I cannot wait to show you and share with everybody all the amazing things that are happening now since being on the show. I've made my own line right in Jersey. So I'm just so proud of taking advantage of all the opportunities that came with this platform.
I love it. And if you ever want me, it's kids clothes, but I'm 4'11". So if you want me to try on anything and model it,
to the launch party. You're coming to the launch party.
And give me one of the little shirts and I'll wear it. With the tummy hanging out.
Oh my God, please don't make me laugh. I just had a tummy tuck and my tummy really, really hurt.
Wait, did you really? Did you get a tummy tuck?
I did. But not for vain reasons, because I had extra skin.
Yeah. Well, when I lost 85 pounds 10 years ago, and I got all the skin removed too. And I'm so
you
happy.
Did that?
Yeah, I did it 10 years, probably 15 years ago. Best thing I ever did, because I lost 85 pounds. I had all this extra skin and I didn't feel confident. Here I was in the best shape of my life and I still didn't want anyone to see me or touch me or anything. Got the surgery and it boosted my self-esteem so much. And it's I'm so grateful and thankful I did it.
You literally just took the words out of my entire vlog of why I did the surgery, because that's me. I'm in the best shape of my life, but I can't wear a cute top, and I'm filming with Melissa Gorga over here, who's and I'm like, so I'm two weeks post-op.
Now it gets easier. When people are about to do it, I always say the first 48 hours are literally going to be the worst 48 hours of your entire life ever. Because it's so painful. But then after that, every day is better and better. And then once you hit the 2-week mark, 3-week mark, it's then smooth sailing, I feel.
Yeah. But my last drain comes out tomorrow, and I cannot freaking wait.
That's the turning point. Oh, that's so great. Well, congratulations on your body. I don't know if as we both get canceled tomorrow, I don't even know if this is how you're supposed to talk about plastic surgery. No, my opinion on plastic surgery is, you should always do whatever you can to make yourself feel good and happy as long as you're safe and healthy doing it. Yes. You know?
Agreed.
But oh my God, I love talking to you. Can we get together soon and actually hang out?
Please. I would love that. I really would love that. We probably could tell so many great stories.
I know. Probably so much we can't say on the internet.
Yeah, 100%.
If although knowing us, we probably will share it all on the internet.
But, no, it'll be a full video, edited, music, the whole nine. Yeah.
Wait, can you say your website for everyone so they can find the clothes?
It's bougiekids.com, BoujieKidz.com.
Okay, Danielle, you're the best. Thank you so much for calling in. All right, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, you
all
got
right.
It. Thanks, Robin. Bye.
Bye. Oh, my gosh. I love her.
She's great.
Right? Doesn't she remind you of all my friends?
All your friends, yes. Smushed all into one.
Oh, my God. She is such good energy. I love her. Okay, I have to fill you in on The Real Housewives of New Jersey. Like, it was insane. Well, you know what? I'm just going to give you a three-sentence recap, okay? All right. This woman, Teresa, has been on since season one, okay? Mm-hmm. Her sister-in-law joined in season two, and she was pissed. 10 years later, she's still pissed. You're caught up.
All right. That's all you need to know. Wonderful.
All right, security, let's open up the lines. I want to hear everyone's public humiliation stories.
Okay, Robin, we have Alexandra calling all the way from Belgium.
Hi, Alexandra.
Hello, Robin.
I believe you're our first international call.
Wow. Oh, goodness. Okay. How exciting.
This is very exciting. Okay.
So I have no idea. Why,
you
why
are. You're very. Like... security, do you remember any other... International?
No, this is our first.
Yes. Okay. This is very exciting. We've gone international, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Alexandra. So today's topic is public humiliation. So tell us what you got.
Right. So about 25 years ago, my sister, who was living in Belgium at the time, moved to Ireland. They'd been going there on holidays and they decided to settle. So they knew people and stuff. And I helped her because her kids were small. To do the move, and we'd been there a couple of days, and I was having problems because I wasn't used to the accents. I had no idea what people were saying to me. And so we go, it's this little village. We go to the village party in the village hotel, and she's introducing me all these people, and I'm not understanding anything they're saying to me. And at one point, we sit down on these two little stools, and this little person comes in. And he comes up to my sister and she says hello to him and she introduces and says, you know, Alex, this is Wee Brian, this is Alex. And she says, this is my sister Alex who lives in Brussels. And he says, you know, Brussels. I only understand Brussels. So I'm like, yeah, I live in Brussels. And then, mind you, I'm really tall. So sitting on this stool, I am face to face with Wee Brian standing. And he looks at me and he goes, so, you're a giant. And I'm like, and for a half a second, I thought, well, you know, he's short, I'm tall. And I looked at him and I said, yeah, I guess I am rather tall. And he looks at me, he goes, no, dear, are you a giant?
Wait, what is he saying?
He meant, are you enjoying it?
Oh, are you enjoying? Oh, my God. See, I thought he said that, too.
I know. And so the entire, my sister falls off her stool laughing. Oh, the entire God. Pub is like, the tall woman just called Wee Brian, you know, just said she was a giant. And so I want to die. I just want to die.
Oh my God, I'm embarrassed for you.
I had like another 2 weeks in this village every time. And of course you see everyone every time, like, Wee Brian, and he thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
So every time he see me, he'd like wave and I was like, ah, hi.
Oh my God, I'm embarrassed for you. I'm embarrassed for you.
Oh, I wanted to die. I mean, I am 5'10", okay?
I love you. Well, I guess I am rather tall.
I don't know. For like I had this like moment of absolute idiocy and it's made sense. I was like, yeah, I guess I am rather tall.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And 25 years later, I can guarantee you every time I go to visit my sister and we are out and these people who now are friends, some idiot comes up to me and goes, so, Alex, are we giants yet? And everyone laughs.
Oh my God, that's so good. 25 years later, I'm still going to remember this call too. So don't you worry. Oh my God.
The tall woman who said she was a giant for a little person.
That's so good. Alexandra, thank you for being our first international call. That is very much pleasure. A public humiliation story. All right.
Bye. Thank you so much.
Oh my God, that was so funny.
So funny, yet it's so embarrassing.
No, like when she told me, like, I know that humiliation when, like, you say something, you put your foot in your mouth, and like, one, like, it really was like she just misunderstood, but like, because it's not, like, you're half insulting someone, like, it's a foot in your mouth. Like, the worst is when you say to someone, like, which I will never do, when you ask someone, like, how far along they are and they're not pregnant.
Oh, that, no, I wouldn't even. I wouldn't even go there. Even it's no.
I know, sometimes people are okay. Like I went out to lunch with someone. It was a business, and she was so clearly 9 months pregnant. Like she was ready to pop. I still didn't ask her.
You don't.
No.
You do not.
I told her she got fat. Okay.
Oh no.
I didn't want to assume she was pregnant, so I just said, "Hey, you got fat." Okay.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, security, why don't you put through another call?
Okay, Robin, we have Kelly on the phone.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Robin. Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm talking to you.
Thank you so much for calling in to call waiting. I can't believe I'm talking to you.
I feel like I talk to you regularly. I just, like, DM you all the time, and then you actually respond, and, you know, we're BFFs.
Exactly. I know. Sometimes, like, because I get so many messages every day, and I try to answer, you know, a bunch a day. And I think people are always shocked that I do. Because I'll be like, oh my God, really? That's so cool. You're like, wait, you actually are reading these? I'm like, I try. All right. So today is Public Humiliation Day. What story do you have for us?
So I just want to start off by saying I am 39. I've never had kids. And I may or may not have had a public accident, and it was pretty embarrassing. So I was at Kohl's, which is a department store. I don't know, you probably have heard of it. And yeah. I was in the fitting room, and I was like, oh my God, I really have to go to the bathroom. So I started putting on my clothes and like trying to hurry out of there so I can run down to the bathroom. And then I was like, nope, I can't. I'm not going anywhere. And I just literally, Robin, I spread my legs and it was like Niagara no. Falls, just peeing, straight oh, peeing. No. And I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? So I have no toilet paper. I have no tissues. I have nothing to clean it up with. And I'm like, I'm not going to use my own clothes to clean this up.
No.
So I was like, okay, I'm just going to put on my clothes. I did not use clothes from Kohl's. I promise. I did not. And I run out, and I was like, I'm looking for paper towels, and I see an employee. And I walk up to her, and I'm like, I did something bad. And she looked at me like, oh, what did this woman do? And I was like, I just peed all over the fitting room. I never ran out of that place so fast. I refused to go back. My picture's probably hanging somewhere in the back room saying, do not let this woman try on clothes. And yeah.
Can I just say, I give you credit even for telling the employee. If it was me, I would have pulled up my pants and left and act like, no, I still would. I would have gone to the counter, paid for my shit, and then left. I give you so much credit for telling an employee.
Well, I couldn't just, I worked in retail, so I know how it goes. I don't want to leave it for someone to just surprise. The fitting room was full. Like, they definitely, the people on the other side of me definitely heard me.
And also, if you didn't tell the employee, then, and someone found it, then maybe they would have gotten a picture of you and thought you were doing that to, like, you know, vandalize. But the fact that you told an employee, clearly this was an accident. Humiliating, yes, but an accident. Have you been back to that store?
No, I refuse to. And like, sometimes you have to go though, and I like will make my husband go in, or I'll be like, I can't. I'll order online. That's what I just gotta do now, forever.
Yeah, no. I don't blame you. We're going to have, in solidarity, I won't go into Kohl's either. I'll be like, I'm sorry, I have a friend who peed herself. I can't. We're sticking together. Oh my God, that was great. All right, thank you so much for sharing your public humiliation story with all of us. I guarantee there are many of us listening who that has happened to as well. I pooped myself on a bus once.
Oh my gosh, thankfully I've never done that.
Oh, yeah, no, I didn't do it either. all right, thanks for calling. It was so great talking to you. I'll see you in the DMs.
All right, bye, security.
Bye.
Okay, so guys, yes, I pooped myself on a bus, but I was 13. Security pooped himself in Target.
Yeah.
Last week. No, this morning. When was that?
It's had to have been about 10 years ago.
Right. And so what happened again?
Well, I ran into a store. I bought pants.
Yeah.
Ran into the stall. The stall had no had no toilet paper.
Oh, okay. I don't even want to hear this story anymore.
All right, we'll go to our next caller.
I'm kind of grossed out. Jeez, I wish I could delete the last 30 seconds of my life. All right, put through the next call.
Okay, Robin, we have Arielle on the line.
Hi, Arielle.
It's Aries.
Oh, Aries. So, security, you're fired. You have one job. Your one job is to say people's names.
It's Aries on the line.
Yeah. Do you see what I have to deal with? Do you see? Hi, Aries. How are you?
How are you?
I'm good.
I finally got through. I was like, yay, I finally got through. So I was so happy.
Thank you for like sticking with it and keep trying, because I know sometimes it's hard to get through, but I'm so happy to be talking to you. Tell me, what is your public humiliation story?
Well, it was recent. I had a procedure by my femur and by my pelvic, right? And so as my procedure was done and everything, the surgeon had came in, the doctor had came in, and all of a sudden you see his residents coming in with him. He says, oh, can a group of residents, can they take a look? We're going to look at, you know, the procedure you just had done. I only expected the doctor to do it, not like the rest. Like, he had a whole crowd with him. Like, he had like, I want to say 7 of them plus him. And then like, I was humiliated, embarrassed, because they had it checked by my pelvic, so that was like my private, and I was naked. So I was like, oh my God, not only is he going to look, but he had these 7 people just, you know, take a look.
You should have been like, excuse me, can one of you take me out to dinner first? Like, this is a little awkward. As someone who spent many, many times in the hospital, I too cannot believe when they bring in like 10 people and they're looking. I had a staph infection. It was like right by my surgery, right like above my vagina. Oh, yeah, I guess it's a vagina. Lower abs. I don't know. It's my elbow. But it's so awkward when they bring it, especially because half of them are like students. So they're like 22. And I'm like, are you even old enough to see this body part? You know?
What?
So I feel you. But let me calm your nerves. they see so much every day that you were probably just like a I know for you it's scarring, but I promise you in their eyes you, they were like, you were like a little blip. So I hope you lose no sleep over it.
I don't know. It was embarrassing for me, but you're right. They get to see this every day, so it's like nothing to them. So
yeah, I mean, they probably look in people's buttholes, you know, like that. They don't care. I don't know why I went with buttholes, but they see a lot.
You know what? The other embarrassing, when they brought me from the procedure to, because they had to take me to ICU, right? So then when they were transferring me, they had to rush me to the other bed, into the other room. But before they put me into the bed, they had to roll me over, and they did see my butthole too. So I was like, oh my God. And there was like more of them. There was like 15, like all doing.
You're like, there was a camera crew.
Yeah, it was just too much. But yeah, that was very embarrassing.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, the hospital. And then they give you those robes where your butt's hanging out. The whole thing's a mess and embarrassing. I hear you. But just remember, you're one of a billion that they see. I love it. Thank you so much for calling in. It was great talking to you.
Thank you so much. Nice talking to you, Robin. Congrats for everything that's happening. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you. All right. Take care.
Going for your first ever run around the park. Literally running errands all over town. Running for the finish line and your personal best. If you run, you're a runner. Find the shoes and clothes to run your way at newbalance.com/running. New Balance. Run your way.
Introducing Batiste Sweat Activated and Touch Activated Dry Shampoo. With breakthrough technology that absorbs oil and releases bursts of fragrance whenever you sweat or touch your hair for up to 24 hours, it's the ultimate hair care for girls on the go. Try the newest dry shampoo that's activated by you. Batiste, the future of hair care is here. Buy Batiste Dry Shampoo online or in store at your nearest retailer.
Oh my gosh. No, hospitals are like so, it's always a mess. You're like, why do they give you those robes where the whole back is hanging out?
I took two.
What do you mean?
When I was in the hospital, I took two, one for my front and back. Because I was
your
like,
front. What? One for your front, one for your face. Because I am a loving sister, just so you know. You appreciate the banter,
oh my
right?
God. You
if I just started being nice to you, how would I?
I'm like, something's not right. She's mad at me.
If I said, wow, security, you're doing such a good job.
What did I do wrong?
Security, you look great today.
What's wrong? What's wrong with my outfit?
Oh, my God. All right, let's do another call.
Okay, Robin, we have Sarah on the line.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Robin. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling in. Today's topic is public humiliation. What's your story?
Okay, so this is a really, really sad story, but I heal. I'm in a process of healing. So just be prepared. It's sad. So okay. I was around 7 or 8. I was third grade. I'm from Venezuela, by the way. So my mom was living with this guy, a stepfather. He was a very mean, mean person. And I always, because I had so much anxiety, I used to pee in bed because I always so scared, always so nervous. So one day, he made my mom, forced my mom to make, you know, the cardboard boxes? He makes my mom write down, like, this is hi, it's Sarah. 8 years old, and I pee in my bed, like, I'm the embarrassing of the family, you know? And he made me, my mom put it front and back, make me walk to the, around the neighborhood with all the kids.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
This really created a wound in my heart, like, it makes the way I was acting during teenager year, I was always so shy, very low self-esteem, and yeah, I'm still healing, but hey, I'm hopeful for the future.
I'm so sorry that happened, that you went through that. Humiliating a child, I think is like the worst thing, because one, that's like the years you're like learning to be confident and you're learning to who you are, and then to be humiliated like that is so awful. I'm so, so sorry, but I'm so happy you called in, because I think it's a lesson to a lot of people that, you know, sometimes as a child we get so broken, but like we do have power as an adult to move forward and to be strong. And I think like you should be so, so proud of yourself, because it's so easy when you're hurt and broken as a child to then bring that in adulthood and use it, you know, reasons why X, Y, and Z. But I think you're doing so amazing at being an amazing person, and you should just be really proud of yourself.
Hey, just therapy. Surround yourself with positive people that are willing to take a time to listen to you.
Aww. I wish I could give. I'm sending you the biggest hug right now, and so much love, and just keep being amazing, because you are amazing.
Yeah, thank you. And say hi to security. The other day I saw him, and I was too afraid to say hi.
Oh my God, you should always say hi. We live for it. We live for it. All right, I love you, and thank you so much for calling in and sharing your story.
All right. Bye-bye, Robin.
Bye. Oh, that call was a lot. You know, I think, you know, that when I said public humiliation, you know, it's so funny. I jumped to funny because to me, when I'm embarrassed, I use comedy to get through. And every time I am embarrassed, I go, okay, eventually this will be a funny story. But actually the truth is, like, especially as a child, but adult too, humiliation sometimes could just be so hurtful and can sometimes break us. But like from that call and from my words, I hope anyone who's listening, when you have those moments, whether it was as a kid or as an adult, where you're humiliated, just know you will get through it. You will get stronger. You will be better for it. And there is humor. Like, fall on humor, fall on your strength, use therapy, use your friends. Like she said, take a walk, eat some ice cream, have a cookie. And just know I love all of you guys. So, all right. Wow. Security.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
I'm okay.
Security was a teacher for many years.
So yeah. And just the idea of trying to like teach through humiliation is not the way to do it.
No.
It's not, and it doesn't help at all in the future. No.
Both security and I were overweight as kids, and the amount of times people would humiliate us with our weight, thinking that, I won't say, we've had some family members or people who will go, you know, try to humiliate you weight wise and thinking that that's going to make you lose weight, when really all it does is make you hate yourself.
Like, and not like them.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't make me fix me. It makes me go, you're an asshole. You should fix you. All right, guys. Thank you, everyone who called in today. Every week we have a new topic, so make sure you're following me at Robin Shaw Comics so you find out what the topic is. And then you just call in 720-727-6296. All right, for today's end segment, I told you we were going to do some public humiliation towards myself. On the cab ride here, I messaged three guys that have ghosted, well, two that ghosted me and one that I ghosted, because I was like, what better way to humiliate myself than message men who don't want to talk to me? So, okay, I have not checked my DMs, but in my drafts email, I could read you what I wrote each guy. Okay, so I dated this guy who was from France. He lives here now, who works at Google. And I don't know why I'm giving that detail up. And his social security number is. Anyway, we were talking for like 2 days. He asked me out on the date. We went to this wine bar. He was so like touchy and like very romantic and like kissing me and yada, yada, yada. And then he goes, do you have a stairwell? And I go, what? No. Actually, first he said, come back to my place. And I'm like, no. I don't go back to guys' places on the first date because you never know. They could kill you. Okay. The security, you don't understand. As a woman, that's our thoughts. You don't know. You never had to go out with someone and go, hope they don't murder me tonight. That's like women's thoughts on our first date.
You know, now that I know, when I go on a first date, that's what she's thinking.
You're like, I'll leave my axe at home. Okay, so anyway, so he's like, I was like, no, I'm not coming back to your place. And then I was like, do you want to come back to my place? And he was like, do you have a stairwell? And I was like, by the way, I know that's not a French accent. I don't know what accent that is. And I was like, what? No. And I was like, why? He's like, I thought we could make out in the stairwell, which is, you know, that's where all murders go down. But I was like, no. I was like, I have an elevator. And he was like, okay. And I was like, but there's cameras and I have doormans. I don't want them to see. And he goes, oh, there's doormans and camera. And I was like, yeah. And this is all as we're walking out. We make it outside and it's raining. I was like, oh, let me get us an Uber. And then he goes, I gotta go. And then he runs. And then I never heard from him again. So this is what I texted him in the camp. By the way, this was like 3 months ago. I wrote, hi, don't know if you remember me. We went out a couple of months ago. I have a question. At the end of the date, you ran off so fast. Why? Just curious if you don't like me or just really need to poo. Okay. All right. The second guy, I'm not checking my text yet to see if any of them responded. Okay. All right. The second guy was the scientist who I just recently dated. I went on 3 dates with him. The third date was great. It was 8 hours long. We went for a walk, went back to my place. We watched a movie. We made sundaes. Like, it was great. And then he disappeared. Never heard from him again. That was a few weeks ago. So I wrote, hey, it's been a minute. No, this one was a little more sincere. I wrote, hey, been a minute. Wanted to check to see how you were doing and also ask why I never heard from you. Are you not interested or did the science lab blow up? So that was sent to the scientist. I call him scientist because he's a scientist. He works in a lab. All right. And then the third guy, I ghosted him. His name, like, I call him Bobby because we went on a date and we were like kissing and he goes, I want you to call, his name was, we'll call him Michael, right? Let's say his name was Michael. And he's like, I want you to call me Bobby. And I was like, okay, Bobby. And all night at the bar, I was like, Bobby, Bobby, Bobby. And then eventually he's like, why are you calling me Bobby? I was like, you told me to call you Bobby. He's like, no, I said Poppy. I was like, oh, oopsies. So I've been calling him Bobby ever since. All right, so we went on one date. And then he never asked me out again. He like texts me like every once in a while, like, what's up? And I'm just like, oh my God. So then like about a month ago, he texted me, hi, I don't respond. Then a week later, he writes, hi, I don't respond. A week later, he writes, hi, I don't respond. 3 nights ago, he writes, hi. No, nothing else. I'm not exaggerating. Just H-I. Nothing. So in the cab, I wrote back, hi. All right. Opening my text messages. Let's see. Okay. So French guy did not write back. Granted, it's only been like 2 hours. So we may hear. Tune in next week to see if there's an update. All right. Let's see if scientist.
Or he's still running.
He's still running. Scientist. No comment.
No. Maybe the lab blew up.
The lab blew up. Okay. And Bobby writes.
Wait, he wrote back? He wrote back. He wrote back.
He wrote back. Whoa. That's it. That's all he wrote. Oh my God.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, geez. All right, guys. Thank you, everyone who called in today. And a special thank you to Danielle Cabral. I love her so much. Thank you for taking the time to call into Call Waiting. Guys, if you want to see me live, go to my website, robinshaw.com, to see the Robin Shaw Experience. It's the best show out there. You're going to laugh. You're gonna dance. You're just going to have the best freaking time. And always make sure you're following me at Robin Shaw Comic for the topic so you can call in. And I'm just... This was humiliating. Oh, hold on. We got a call. Call Waiting is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Picot. Editing by Basilio Perez and Jorge Morales Picot. Guest booking by Ali Freelander. Be sure to follow me at Robin Shaw Comic on Instagram and TikTok to find out our next topic and learn when to call each week. And give me a ring at 720-72-ROBIN. That's 720-727-6296.
Betches.